Our scripture today is from Psalm chapter 24. I encourage you, if you have a Bible near you or around you, to go ahead and open it. It's on page, I don't know, but it's in Psalms, in chapter 24. As you're looking for that, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the chance to read your word together. We thank you, Lord, for this show of grace that through your word you bless us with so much. Knowledge of your presence, direction in our lives, the activity of your Holy Spirit working in our hearts. And so, Lord, we rely upon that. And we surrender our minds and our hearts to you. Open us, Lord, that we may receive what it is that you have for us. And we may be encouraged. We might be challenged. Whatever is necessary for us to know you all the more. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 24 of David, a psalm. This is the word. Hear now God's word. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. For he has founded it on the seas and established it on the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. Such is the company of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who's the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up on ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, I can't remember which, that the book of Psalms is basically the diary of the church. Talks about so much, sometimes there's pain, sometimes there's heartache, sometimes sadness, frustration, sometimes joy, sometimes longing. So many different things we find in the book of Psalms. Now, today we read Psalm 24. Now, many of you are probably quite familiar with Psalm 23. How many of you are familiar with Psalm 23? 23rd Psalm. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, yada, yada, so on and so forth. It's a psalm that many of us use as devotional language. It's a psalm that we sometimes know by heart, and if something's going on wrong in our lives, we reach for that song as a prayer. As a way to just be surrounded by the knowledge that God loves us. Psalm 23 is a great psalm because it's one of those psalms that kind of doesn't talk about our responsibility. I think it was camp the other day. Yeah, we talked about responsibility. How many of you have responsibility in your lives? Everybody. I mean, and some of that responsibility we choose for ourselves, some of that responsibility gets laid upon us. We have no choice in the matter. Psalm 23 is nice because it doesn't talk about our responsibility. It talks about God's responsibility. And God has taken it upon God's self to have responsibility for us. Lays us down in green pastures, leads us beside still waters, restores our soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is all God's responsibility that God took on himself for us. Psalm 23 is a great psalm because it talks about how much God provides. And it's fitting, I think, to have Psalm 24 for what it is come next. Because it talks about rejoicing in this God who takes care of us. It's a psalm of ascent, a psalm of ascension into the throne of God. It talks about The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. It recognized that God has power and dominion over all of this. And the author to the psalm here at the end: lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And who's the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. It's rejoicing that God is great, that God is wonderful, that God is sitting on the throne and above all things. Today, I don't want to talk about responsibility. Got enough. Today, we're just talking about celebration. Just praising God. For we have so much because of God to rejoice about. We have so much to thank God for. Last week was celebration. The lights went off, the fireworks went off, and we rejoiced, and we celebrated the 245th anniversary of these United States, its birthday. Today, we rejoice and we celebrate God. And that God is in our lives, and that God has given us all that we need, and that God is in control. In the second third of this psalm, it talks about who shall ascend the Lord of the hill of the Lord? Who should celebrate God? Who should stand with God and rejoice? And it says this: those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false and do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from the God of their salvation. I love reading this post-Jesus, because when I read this, my instinct tells me, who's going to ascend the hill? Those with clean hands and pure hearts. My hands aren't as clean as I would like them, nor is my heart as pure. But we mentioned the other week that Jesus doesn't call the qualified, but qualifies the call. Purifies those whom Jesus loves. Gives hope and joy and peace to those whom trust Him. My hands aren't as clean, my heart isn't as pure, but it's Jesus who makes me so. It's Christ who allows us to stand upon the hill. It's Jesus who sits upon the throne and beckons us to come towards it, regardless of what's in our past, regardless of what's in our presence. At Jamonville, we gathered together at the top of the hill there at the cross. How many of you have been on top of that hill? If you haven't, make a trip down. It's an hour from here. It's an easy drive. And the cross sits on top of the hill. At the top of the hill, you can see 56 miles. And on a super clear day, the city of Pittsburgh, you can see it. At least one or two buildings of it. You can see across three states. You can see West Virginia, Maryland, and PA. And it's gorgeous. Go at night if you don't make it during the day, and you can see the rider of Uniontown. You familiar with the rider of Uniontown? Bev? You haven't seen the rider. There's in the lights. There's a horse and rider there in the lights. It's a gorgeous view. And so every week that I do camp, we have communion. And we go up in the morning or in the afternoon, and we sit on top of that hill, and we have a communion service. Me and the campers. And we just gaze at the view and the glory of God shining there, right in front of us, as we think about the love of Jesus and what Christ has done for us during the last supper. So we got up in the morning, Friday morning. It was hot all week long. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is in the 90s. Rained Wednesday night. Thursday morning it rained. We went to Kennywood. beautiful day during the day, and then in the evening rained again for 10 minutes, and then we went home at 8 o'clock. Good days. Woke up Friday morning, a cloud had settled on the hill. Couldn't see more than 30 feet in front of you. We had communion that morning up on the mountain, looking at that beautiful view that we couldn't see. It was shrouded in mist. We all got wet because the rain wasn't falling on us. It was forming around us and sticking to our clothes. We were cold and not super comfortable. And yet, I had the audacity to talk about the beauty and the glory of God in that moment. The thing was, is that that beautiful view, 56 miles all the way to Pittsburgh across three states, the view was still there. We couldn't see it, but God's beauty wasn't diminished. The cross that we walked up to, we couldn't see it, but it was still there. What he's rejoicing at, our author, is the fact that though all in this world isn't good or ideal or the way that we like it, the truth of the matter is, regardless, God sits on the throne. We may not be able to see God, we may not be able to understand God, but that truth doesn't go away. Jesus is still there. Christ reigns regardless of what it looks like. And with that knowledge, you can still see beauty. Still able to see through the mist. The light and love of Jesus still can be seen and is still present, regardless of whether we know it or not. Our author, I don't know the mood when he or she wrote that psalm that we just read. I don't know what was going on in that author's life. Could have been good things, it could have been bad things. I like to think that his world or her world wasn't the way that they wanted it. But even though, or even so, they still rejoiced. Because God sits on the throne. Nothing can trump that. And that's the reality of it. We can rejoice today. My life isn't perfect. Things aren't exactly the way I want them to be. But I can still rejoice because Christ is on the throne. I can still rejoice, though I may not always see it. The knowledge of it's there. God is greater than anything in this world. And because of Jesus in my life and in our lives, we are able to stand before that throne and worship God and be in his presence now and always. And I praise God for that. To him who lives, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.